Would you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4? And when you're there, when you are there, pray for the saints. Can I get an amen and an amen? I don't even know. I used to wear black and gold a lot, and I've changed. I don't even know what colors I'm going to wear anymore. It will throw up some of those house lights. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to get there in a minute and a whole long time. Just stay right there. If you're writing notes, I'm going to have a lot to say before Ephesians chapter 4. So I know that sometimes it can get confusing. I have enjoyed this series. The past couple of series, we've gotten so many outside comments from people watching online, from people saying different things. And so for me, it's just been a tremendous moment to look at what could we consider skeletons in our closets. Things that we don't often talk about that we like to keep concealed. And we've talked about a skeleton. Is it? Is there something humming? I'm sorry. It's just going to get to me. There's a skeleton of shame, and then there's a skeleton of pain, and then there's a skeleton of sin that we have identified in our closet, and things that we don't often want to deal with, and most of the time, they just spill out until they hurt the very people that we love, and sometimes even the people that you don't love. And so whenever we don't deal with our skeletons, more specifically, Jesus cannot give us the abundant life that God wants us to have. And so in the past couple of weeks, we have identified our skeleton. We have looked at ourselves honestly and said, this is the thing that we want to have taken out of our life, whether that's trauma, whether that's some kind of shame from somebody that did something to us. We've talked about grief. We've talked about sin patterns. We've talked about addictions. We have identified them. We have sat through a wonderful counsel, just sharing with us. And then last week, Jeremy shared with us on forgiveness and how we need to offer forgiveness because Jesus forgave us of so much. And so we don't forgive because they deserve it, but we forgive because Jesus said, you're forgiven. And last week, somebody came to me and said, hey, somebody said to me that at the end of Sunday evening, they said, you know, I walked that out. I went and found someone that I knew I needed to forgive. And I thought, wow, we're getting rid of the skeletons, right? It's like continual. It's a pattern that happens over and over. It's hard work to get rid of skeletons. It's not going to be easy to get rid of the problems that are in our lives. It's day after day after day. I always notice, we pastor for a while now, my husband and I, and you'll always notice people come in and they'll come in for a week, 2 weeks, and we give them 3 weeks. And if we don't see them, we're like, oh, 3 weeks and they're out. And then sometimes people will stay for more than 3 weeks. Hallelujah. But then they'll go about 3 to 4 months and they're out. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard to continue in the pattern of having Jesus rid you of your skeletons. It's a process. We want it right away. We want just to pray a prayer to God, everything be okay, and now we'll just move on and do what we always have done. And yet Jesus says it's not the way. That's not the way to get rid of a skeleton. So we work on it day after day, year after year, until your legacy has changed. Your generation, your patterns of life are different because of the skeletons that you have got out of your closet. And we could go on and on with this series, but this morning, for the sake of time, we're going to talk about three things. And it's going to be, the name of the sermon is called CAN. C-A-N. Because that way you can remember it. And so community, accountability, and something new. And of course, the end is for the new part. And so I thought of these three ways as a pattern so that we can begin to look at our lives and say, how can I not just do this for 1 week or 1 month or 1 year? How can, until the day that I die, have the skeletons gone from my closet and those skeletons do not come back? You know somebody, right? They were free from alcohol for 1 year. What happens? That skeleton comes back. Or they were free from addiction for 5 years, 6 years. And eventually, because of the patterns of their life, that skeleton has a way of creeping back up on us. It's the door that we have opened into our life, or the door that someone else has opened into our life. And because it's been opened, it is so easy for the enemy to come sneaking back into our lives and say, but what about this? Look at who your granddaddy was. Look about this pattern that happened 2 weeks ago. You're never going to change. And this morning, I want to say you can. Somebody say can. Can. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can. I can. I can. See, you can get rid of skeletons. And I that's just a word for you this morning. That's just a word. And I say that coming from, I tell this story, y'all. My family is not a good family. My mom can. She did the can process. And y'all, what was before us is not who we are now, because my mom stuck in there. Anytime the door was open to the church, she was in there. VBS, she was the leader. Why? Because she decided to do these three steps in her life. And I want to pass these on to you. And I want you to turn, we're going to not turn your Bible just quite yet. We're going to talk about the first word. The first word is community. Somebody say community. Community. I remember it's about 10 years ago, we were coming out of a nonprofit. We knew we needed a church for people. And we were sitting around at a table, six of us. Jeremy and Amber are still here, Brandon, Rachel, Ted, and I. And we were sitting around a table in the old building on Roselawn. We were on Roselawn. We were sitting around this table, and we said, we think we should probably have a church. And that was, we were just filled with excitement. We were coming up with a name for the church. And of course, everything we do here is hope. So like that was a non-negotiable, right? Like we have Hope Gardens, Hope Showers, Hope Treasures. We have everything was hope. So the word had to be hope. And then we wanted people to know that it was a church. So we said, well, the last word has to be church. Hope Church. You know, that sounded good, but it sounded a little bit like something was missing. And I remember just sitting there and we were fleshing this back and forth and just talking with each other. And I just thought, like, what about the word community? Like, what do we want people to do? We want them to spend time in community. Like, this is a community church. This is for you. This is for you. This is for your neighbor. This is for your boss at work. And so we came up with that name of community because we wanted people to know that inside of Hope Church, there was a community of believers. See, the word kept on coming back to us. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 24, it says this, and let us consider, somebody say consider, how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. My job as a believer inside of community is to consider, to stop, to pause, to think about how I can spur you on towards love, how I can spur you on towards good deeds. My job is to see the giftings and the talents and the abilities that are the inside of you and say, hey, that's a place where you can serve. That's a place where you can minister. This is a job of community that we would encourage each other. Guys, it is hard out there. Can I get an amen? It's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. I told my husband and I believe that there was some kind of switch that flipped since COVID, and people have gotten meaner, right? Like you drive in a car and somebody's going to flip you off. I'm not that person. I know I drive bad. You don't have to tell me. I'm good. And so, you know, I'm sitting there. I just drive rough. And so, but I never got a ticket. Hallelujah. And so, amen. But like inside of community, I want to tell you this is a safe place. This is a place where, hey, we live together. We walk together. If you cry, I'm crying. If you're excited because you got a promotion, we're going to throw a party because you got a promotion, because it's community. Stop. How can we help each other, love each other, and have a safe place? In Acts 2 and verse 42, this one will be on the screen, and verse 20 through 47, it says, and I love, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture. the church is getting started in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit has come down in tongues of fire, and they begin to share the word of God. And by the end of Acts 2, in verse 42, Luke writes this. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through all the apostles. And all who were believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, they were attending the temple together, and they were breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Look at back at verse 42. I think it's not on the screen, but it's in your Bible. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching," which is the word of God, "and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread." That is a big old fancy word for community. They devoted themselves to the word of God, yes. They devoted themselves to prayer, yes. But if you want to get a skeleton out of your closet and you don't want it to be for 20 seconds or 1 year, you want this skeleton to really be out, you need to devote yourself to community. You need to be here every time the doors are open. You need to come in and say, "Oh, 9:30 is when prayer starts. Let me be there at 9:30 because that's when church starts for me at 9:30. Oh, I see myself in a women's small group, right? I see myself at the men's Bible study. Y'all, that class is full of men on Wednesday nights. They're packing out that little area right there. Why? Because it's important for men and women to be inside of community. You can gather, but there's nothing like community where we talk things through. And if you can't make Wednesdays, you can say, "Well, I can make it to Jeremy and Amber's small group on the first Friday of every month at 6:30, and there's free food." And so you're like, that's a benefit, right? I mean, there's not babysitting, but there's free food. And on Wednesday night, there's kids church. So then your kids are in community. And so then your young kids are in community. And at Momentum, we have kids and teenagers, 12 to 18. And what are they doing? We break them up into small groups so that they can experience community, where they can experience the love, and they can, how do we help each other? How do we grow each other? Take a step towards community. Maybe it's Hope Abounds, the second Saturday of the month with Miss Azura, to help me deal with some of these skeletons in my closet. Or maybe you struggle with parenting and you need to go with Miss Nicole to her parenting class the fourth Saturday of every month. Guys, it's a part of community. And all you have to do is show up. Just show up. I'm just going to show up on Wednesday. I'm just going to show up. I Hope Abounds. I'm going to show up. I'm going to take the first step to be a part of community. I'll never forget. I was in high school. I was moving to college. My church was small. We had a very small church. We had a very small youth group, 5 kids in our youth group, and one was my sister. So, we were small, but I loved Jesus. In fact, I loved Jesus so much, I went to Mexico on a mission trip after my senior year. Everybody else was going to take a senior trip. I'm going to Mexico. I lived in Monterrey for 2 months in Monterrey, Mexico. And as I'm sitting there and I come back to Nicholls State University, all my high school friends were in what was called the student union. That's where all the people hang out in community. But they do secular things in that community. We all have community. It's just, do you have a Christian community? And so they were sitting there in the student union, and my mom and my cousin, they kept on saying, "Tara, you need to get into a place where Christians are." And I was just so nervous. I was scared. I didn't want to take the first step. And in my mind, I still remember walking out of the student union at Nicholls State University. And instead of going towards my band classes, which would have been to the right, I took a left and I said, "I'm going to walk into a place of people that love Jesus." And I took a left and I went into the Baptist student community area. And I wasn't Baptist. Baptist. I was non-denominational, but I needed someone who loved Jesus with me. I walked into the door. I was 17. I thought everybody else was 40. That's how you are when you're 17. Everybody's old looking. But I found a group of friends that came and hugged on to me and helped me to grow in community. They weren't like me. They were older than me. But guys, as that 4 years began to progress, what happened? I grew in my faith. It was the first time I ever spoke, the first time I ever led Bible study. The first time that I began to grow as a believer was when I sat down and I hunkered down and I said, okay, I'm going to be a part of this community. It was the only one at Nichols. Guys, it changed the direction of my life. I mean, salvation, of course, but where did I grow as a disciple? Inside of community. Where there was people asking me, people worried about me, concerned about me, where we were reading the Word of God together, but we were also just hanging out. Guys, it starts skeletons. If you want to keep this up, you might have omitted a skeleton. You might have been talking about it the last 2 or 3 weeks, but you have to stay in community. I know, I've seen this with the addiction homes, and I know Jeremy would attest to this, that if you can do 9 months in a program, but as soon as you get out of that program, you have got to find a community of people that will not allow you to go back to the places that you used to be in. Because the devil's slick. He knows the doors you have opened, and he knows the things that have happened to you. And so he's trying hard to get you to get out of community. But what God says is, no, we need to be in community. And he says, you need to do that even more and more as you see the day approaching. So somebody say, I can, I can. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can. So the first one is community. The second one is accountability. Somebody say accountability. Now, you can be in community. You can come to Bible study. We want you to come, clearly. We want you to be a part of these small groups. But you could not be accountable. That is a different word. In fact, one of my kids was reading my sermon this morning, and she said, Mom, what's the word accountability mean? She said, I don't even know what that word means. I'm so glad you asked. So we have a dictionary right here. Now, the accountability, Merriam-Webster says, is the quality or state of being accountable. An obligation or a willingness to accept responsibility and to account for one's actions. So here's the thing. It begins to say, it was me. That's hard. That is my skeleton. This is the thing that is wrong with me. We're not pointing fingers at someone else. We're taking that finger and we're pointing it right back to ourselves. This is my struggle. I have this area that I know is no good for me. I keep on tripping up and going back to that addiction. Does that make sense? And accountability says, oh, but brother, oh, but sister, I want to hold you. Now, God holds us and he sees everything, but for all of us, really, that what God is also called people to hold us accountable. Because sometimes we think because God didn't strike us with lightning, we got away with one. You know, like, you ever did that before? You lied one time. Well, that nothing happened to me now, so I'll lie again. And you become a liar because the lightning didn't come down, and you thought for sure the lightning was going to come down, but yet the lightning didn't come down. So then you have no one holding you accountable. But accountable is saying, I am accepting responsibility. And a biblical definition is in Romans 14, 12. It says then, so then, each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So yes, we give ourselves an account to God. I stand before God and I am accountable. But you know what helps me to become even more accountable? I have two people in my life this every single day that are able to hold me accountable. There are two people. Now, I'm going to say this. Not everyone that you are in community with needs to hold you accountable. I'm going to say that again. Not everyone that you are in community with needs to know all your business. You don't get to know all my business. I love you, but you don't get to know all my struggles, my pains, my failures, my heartbreaks. That's a treasure that is for me and God, but also for some people in my life that I said, I want you to hold me accountable. They know the issues. They know the problems. They know the tendencies of my heart. They know what has happened to me in my past. And so why would happen to me when I was 15 and when I was 25? Those things that affect me now at 45, they know those things and they love me. Now, someone that holds you accountable has to actually love you. Some people just like bossing people around. You know, those kind of people don't. That's not an accountability partner. That's not someone you want to connect up to. But these two people love me and they say, I want the best for you. I want to speak into your life. And every now and then, and this not often, but every now and then they'll say, but Tara, you did that wrong. Tara, you parented wrong. So clearly one of them is my husband. And so, because he gets to speak into my life. When you rose your voice and got a little bit angry, you know, it just in a really silly kind of way. I mean, my husband, we've been going to the gym. And so I think at the end of August, I said, I want you to hold me accountable. I'm going to go to the gym with you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I hate the gym. I hate working. I hate waking up early. I hate all the things associated with the gym, like the sweat. And this, like it's dark when you wake up in the morning. And so I knew I needed someone to hold me accountable because I'm not ever going to do this by myself. But I'm getting of an age where I want to stay alive. Let me get it. Hallelujah. And I want to be able to breathe. And so I'm sitting there and y'all, my husband, like he's a fanatic about the gym. Do you know this? And he's running a marathon. Like yesterday he ran 18 miles. I'm not in on that one. And so 18 miles yesterday, he gets up at like 5:30 on a Saturday to run 18 miles. This is crazy. However, he is a position in my life where he can hold me accountable to get to the gym for 3 days. So this Friday, Fridays is my day where I can sort of hang back a little bit. And I was like, you know, I really don't want to go. I'm saying like, I just want to snuggle, like not just by myself, whatever. But Ted is in the kitchen reading his Bible and like he's praying and he's waiting for me to get up so that I will be held accountable to go to the gym. And then he'll tell me something. He'll tell, oh, you didn't make it to the gym today? Y'all, since August of whatever time, I've made it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday because I know that there is someone in the room that is holding me accountable to the very thing that I want to be. And I want to be healthy. And in this case, if you want to be spiritually fit, if you want to say, I want this, then someone gets to speak in your life. Someone gets to say to you, hey, that's not right. You did it wrong. They get to confront you whenever you're falling back, whenever you're not been around for as long as you need to be. What happened? Guys, you need someone to hold you accountable. Remember, we talked about in Acts, they had this breaking of together and fellowship, and they're in community. And then, you know what happens? The enemy came in, and there began to be some divisions. And Paul writes about this in Galatians 2 in verse 11 through 13. And Paul, who has been saved by grace, he all of a sudden, he has to confront some things in Peter. Now, Peter is the one that's been around Jesus. Saul, murderer of Christians. Saul was not around. I mean, he saw, but he was not in one of the 12 disciples. And so what happens is Paul realizes that Peter is being fake. That's where the story starts off at. In verse 11, it says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him or confront him to his face. For what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when his friends of James came, Peter couldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from those people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. And as a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So Peter, when he was around Gentiles, eats with the Gentiles. But when the Jews come, he says, oh, I can't hang out with you. I can't talk to you. I can't have the same community with you. And Paul says, no, that's not right. And here's what Paul said to his face. That's holding you accountable. That means he said it out loud to your face. Guys, sometimes we need to be told to our face. We need to allow someone in our lives that will say, you can say this to my face. My accountability in my life helps me get closer to Jesus. It doesn't help me just get closer. It helps me stay closer. There is nothing like holding me accountable, like when Pastor Ted begins to read the Word of God, and I've been thinking, I need to read the Word of God. Guys, there's something that holds you accountable. What are you reading in the book of Jeremiah? Sometimes we'll talk about that. And we see that that is holding me accountable. So it's important to stay in community. It's important to stay accountable. Somebody say accountable. But then it's also important to have something new. See, if you're in accountability and you're in community, but there's one more, and I think, essential transformation that needs to happen is finding something new. It's a new pattern to replace the old pattern. Now hear me out. Ephesians chapter 4, this is where I said I was going to go. If you're in the Bible, you should be there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes. Now, Paul was a murderer. And if you think about that as in a sense of like who he was, he also needed to find something new. So Paul knew, I can't go back to murdering Christians. That seems obvious, right? So he begins to talk about salvation and he begins to talk about Jesus. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 20. Now look at me just for a second, and then we're going to get to the Word of God. Jesus even says this. Imagine this is the closet where the skeleton was, okay? And we took this from our closet this morning. Imagine, Ted loves me when I do these kind of things. And so imagine this is the closet of your life. And when you go back behind it, you say, well, I've gotten rid of trauma, or I've gotten healed from addiction, or those kind of things. And Jesus would say this, remember that he casted out a demon, and it says that they went all over, and then eventually what happens? He went to the man's house, and it was clean. It was clean. You say, well, that's good, right? I want to be clean. I want to be brand new. But here's what I would say. And I think this is what the scriptures say, is that you need to find something new to do. You need something to do that's different than who you were before. The very thing that you're trying to get of. So when you go to the closet and you say, well, it's empty, but what did you fill it with? Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. It says this in verse 20, but that is not the way that you learn Jesus Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and you were taught in him, and the truth is in Jesus, to put off, somebody say put off, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt and through deceitful desires. So obviously there's this old life that we have to put off, of shame, that of pain, of sin patterns, of addiction. And we have those things in our lives, but we put them off to our old self. In verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And to put on, somebody say, put on. Now I feel like Mr. Miyagi, you know what I'm talking about? Wax on, wax off. So you need to put off the old and you need to put on the new. Because putting off the old allows for something else new to happen. And if you are not trying to get that new thing to be a God thing, the enemy comes back and he takes the very thing that you had already put off and he tries to put it back on you. Keep on reading in verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, now here's where it gets good. Having put away falsehood, so your issue is lying, let each one of you speak the truth. So if you were a liar, your skeleton was lies, then what do you need to do? You need to speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. In verse 26, it says, be angry. So if your problem was anger, your skeleton was anger, and you just rage for no reason, and you have the skeleton of anger, and you do not sin, it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the the devil. So in verse 28, it says, let the thief, everybody say thief. So if you were a thief, then you do what? You no longer steal, but rather, so here's the new thing, let him labor. That's good news. So if you were a thief and you used to steal, the new thing that you're going to do is to what? Labor. Do honest work with your own hands so that you may have something to share with anyone in need. Keep on reading. In verse 29, let no corrupt talk. So you used to talk corruptly. The F word used to be your best friend. You used to talk about everyone. But look at verse 29. It says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. But here's the new thing. Such as is good for what? Building up. As it fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. So if you used to talk corruptly, now let your words give grace. It says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for redemption. And now Paul just spits out a bunch of them. Let all who were bitterness, that's one, and wrath, that's two, and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And then he says, look, these are the new things. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted to one another, and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Can we play that music, please? So here we go into the skeletons. Imagine for a moment that your skeleton is anger in this closet. And you're looking, and I don't know. For me, anger's a deal. And I've seen this past time. We'll just pick on anger. So what do? I can, right? I cannot be angry and not sin. I can be angry and not sin. It said that. It said Ephesians. Y'all, I have that memorized. I should just get a tattoo of it probably. And so Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. And I know that scripture. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. So if we're picking on a skeleton, and I'll just pick on one of mine for a moment. When God saves us and we start dealing with the junk behind our closet, he takes it out of us, right? We've admitted to it. If it's an addiction, if it's a sin, we pull open that closet and there's nothing behind there. So now with my anger, and I know I'm not going to sin, what do? I have to put on something new. So now I have to put on joy. Speaking kind words. It even says that at the end, it says at the end of Ephesians, it says being kind to one another, tender-hearted. So instead of being angry, now my new thing is I'm going to start being tender-hearted. That my heart would break instead of trying to go off on my kids, is usually the problem. Instead of that, I'll probably try to be, Lord, help me to put on something new. But if you have an addiction, I don't know what addiction it was, if it's a physical addiction, if it's, you know, pornography, those are big addictions. If you have those things, guys, you have to put on something new. Now, you have to be in community. That's the first step, just showing up. That's why we're trying to get you, hey, come to Harvest Night. Be a part of small groups. In fact, today, right when you leave, sign up for a small group if you're not in one. We'll text you. We'll call you. All visitors, bring a card. We've got you. We want you to be a part of this community if God so chooses to have you a part of the community, to be a part of small groups. And then I would say to you, number two, find someone that will hold you accountable. Now, here's the deal. Pray about that. Ask the Lord, who is it that could hold me accountable? Maybe in just a specific area. I need to be held accountable just to show up on Sundays, or I need to be held accountable with the way that I'm parenting. I need to be held accountable with this addiction. Probably someone who's been in addiction would be the best, and is free from it, would be the best person to hold you accountable because they know the tendencies. I don't. So I'm just like, I don't know. Don't do it. And for somebody else, have someone hold you accountable. Have someone that says, that can speak into your life as iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. So we sharpen one another. We make each other better. That's why God has called us into community so that we can be held accountable. And then God says, pick up something new. If you were a thief, go ahead and work with your hands. If you're a liar and speak falsehood, start speaking the truth. Whatever it is that is in this closet, whatever skeleton that was there, if we don't want it to return, we need to put on something new. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? There's so many truths that have been spoken over the past 4 weeks. But we want to end on a positive note, because some of you still got to deal with these things. Some of you are still going to process this and walk this out. Our prayer is that, as pastors, is that you would have heard something in the past 4 weeks that would just have been something that allowed you to maybe forgive, that allowed you to identify what the issue was. I love that saying, God can't heal what you don't reveal. And so just reveal that. But our heart is that you would begin to find your future. We almost did a sermon just on that, just ending it out. Why do I go through those things that hurt? Why do I go back there and figure it out? Why do I let go of that addiction? Why? Because you are called with a purpose. Because you have a plan from God. Because the enemy knows that, and the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God has come that you might have life, and you might have abundant, and you can't even know the future that God has planned for you. The enemy thwarts it, tries to take it away, but God who made you, the God who has walked with you, now saying, hey, but I have a future for you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And what I need you to do is to get whole. So we have all these people wanting to be in their plan and purpose, but they don't want to be whole. And God says, but I need you to get whole first. I need you to get healthy first. I was that person in my 20s just saying, I want to be at the forefront and I want to do this and I want to do that. And what really God was trying to do was say, I need to deal with the inner parts of you that are hidden behind these closets. I need you to get healthy. I need you to get whole so that when I do use you for my kingdom purposes, you're not bleeding that out on everybody else. And instead, you're healthy and you're whole. How do you do that? Through community, accountability, and picking up something new. Today, I just want to pray over you that you would do that very thing. And then when you walk out these doors, that maybe for you it's taking a step into community, sign up for a small group. Maybe it's for you calling someone this afternoon, finding someone to hold you accountable, praying about that over the week and asking someone to hold you accountable in a specific area, being honest. And maybe it's for you, you need to pick up something new. Whatever that skeleton was, pick up something new, a new godly habit. A new godly way of living, a new godly way of dealing with that anger or with that bitterness or that unforgiveness. Lord, I just ask God in these past couple of weeks, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the God who sees, who knows, and God, that nothing is hidden from you. So Lord, as we have dealt with all of these skeletons in our closets in the past couple of weeks, God, I pray for your healing and your hand upon our lives. God, even now, God, I pray that we will remind ourselves that we can be in community, that we can have accountability. And God, even now that there will be some people in this room that will pick up something new. God, that they will leave off those old things, those former way of living, what they used to do. And God, when they walk out of the room this morning, God, that they will say, but I am holding on to Jesus and I'm holding on to a new way of living. God, if their ways were wrong, God, give them something new to pick up. And God, I thank you, God, that you will help us to do this. Remind us, Holy Spirit, of your presence and your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you guys, and we'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. And don't forget baptism. If you'd like to sign up for baptism, we're going to do baptism inside of service next Sunday right here. So, and we've got new shirts for everybody. It's going to be fabulous. Make sure you grab a t-shirt too, $5 and $10 out there. We love you guys and see you soon.